Hello, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 20. There are 34 verses, translation and commentary. And also, this is part 3 of regeneration. We also have a couple of letters in this phone room response. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint with His outward anointing this service. Lord, open the windows of heaven, as you always do, Lord. I know I've your anointing. I know you said that I'd open my mouth and you would fill it with your words. Send on the Holy Spirit. Open up every heart, every mind, every soul, every spirit. Give them hearing ears to hear the words of eternal life, the good news, the gospel that brings forth everlasting life from faith in your word. And Lord, open every heart, every mind, open everyone's eyes so that they can see the truth. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
A phone room response from Randolph in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
He called to say that he received some of Pastor Alamo's literature and the Messiah book, and that he said the sinner's prayer and got saved. He is requesting more literature for his spiritual growth and also some of Pastor Alamo's cassette message tapes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what's next?
Then from Mandal, India. My dearly beloved Reverend Tony Alamo, I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are very much grateful to you for your beautiful Bibles and the Messiah books and literature. These things are very useful to my ministry here. We are in need of the Word of God. In the right time, you have sent great gifts to this ministry. We will use these materials for the purpose of God and saving the unsaved ones for Christ. I would love to pray for your local needs if you inform me. Here we have a good prayer team. We will pray for the different needs of the people. And we have a great dedication towards the perishing souls. I, too, request your sincere prayers. If you have any spiritual literature, please kindly send more to me. We will use these in a godly way. I have given out all the Bibles that you sent to me to some educated individuals and distributed all of your newsletters to high school children, young people, and travelers. Your literature is a blessing to many, and they are praying for you. God bless you all. Yours in Christ, Brother V. from Mandal, India.
Praise the Lord for all these letters. Then what else?
Then from Ghana, Africa. Hello, Pastor Alamo. Greetings to you and the entire body of Christ in the name that the Bible says is above all names, which has made it possible for me to link up with you through this medium. How are you doing? I hope the Almighty God has made all things beautiful in its time. I am a 20-year-old from the western part of Ghana. I come from a family that is so much engrossed in idol worship and all the evils you can think of. In fact, the situation of my family is just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can't boast of even 5 committed Christians. Ever since I got to know the Lord, I've been earnestly searching for the truth, for people who will help me grow in the full stature of Christ, for someone who will impart into me the ingredient I need to become a partaker of the divine nature of Christ. From the first day I got hold of one of your literatures on holiness, I was convinced beyond all reasonable doubt that the expectations of my heart had been met. In fact, Pastor Alamo, you've been a great blessing to the body worldwide. Your ministry has touched the heart of us and is really causing me to know him more and more. I have so far received 3 parcels from your ministry. The first was the 6 tape messages on dealing with self, and the second was some newsletters and the wonderful and fantabulous piece, The Messiah, and thirdly, other newsletters. I must confess that these soul-winning messages, blowing and soul-changing testimonies have really changed my perception about a lot of things. My eyes have been opened and my faith exalted, and I desire to help others come to Christ in like manner. I am distributing all of your literature to fellow students on our campus, and believe me, the impact and response is overwhelming. Immorality as well as sexual sin is gaining ground in my school, and I want you to help me make an Alamo crusade on the power of the enemy in this institution. Therefore, I request the following materials, if possible, to help me know the word and help other students under the bondage of Satan. 5 copies of the Holy Bible, literatures on immorality and sexual sin, and also on the Holy Spirit baptism and speaking in tongues. Also literatures on books about the Vatican and the Pope. I know my request is very involving, but please, by the mercies of God, I plead to help me establish myself in the Lord and others also. Your son in Christ, Enoch, from Ghana, Africa.
All right, praise the Lord. Yes, I just finished updating the Pope's secrets. The Lord gave me a very good revelation. But once I tell the revelations that the Lord has given me, it just seems so simple that people want to, they say, why didn't we know that? The insert that I put in the Pope's secret tells about how that Satan would, in the latter days, sit down in the temple of God and say that he is God. What a lot of people don't realize is that there is no man-made temple of God. The temple of God is you or I. And that is what has caused the great falling away, is that many Christians have allowed, they were going along in the Spirit, and then all of a sudden they decided to let the spirit of Satan enter into the temple of God. And God let 7 other demons come into the temple of God, with the one, original one that was cast out that came back in. And now when the spirit of Satan has entered into these people, and there now is the great falling away, because you see millions of people on television into false doctrine. They're talking about their husbands in the ministry, and they're not talking about winning souls anymore, or getting out gospel literature or meaningful literature. They're not talking about heaven or hell and how horrible hell is and how wonderful heaven is, and not on a consistent basis. One of the ministers is talking about throwing a loaf of bread over the counter at her, and acting crazy and playing golf all the time, and just one thing after the other, and that it's so wonderful that how to enjoy everyday life instead of deny yourself, take up the cross and follow the Lord like he tells you to do, and go and sin no more. They're telling you, go and enjoy Broadway shows and just live it up, everyday life, you know, have a ball, it's fun. But my literature tells what the Bible says rather than these sort of things. And he wants us to be consecrated and stay away from the world. We are in the world. We do have to work in the world. And some of the things that we work at in the world is like clothing manufacturing or producing recordings and things like this that are not ungodly. And motion pictures and all kinds of other things that are not ungodly. These are permissible, and many other things, but we are to keep ourselves away from worldly. We witness and testify to worldly people, but we never carry on with them. But anyway, we have the 20th chapter of Matthew here, and we're going to start out right away. Do you have another letter? Okay, good. Let's go.
The story of the vineyard workers. Verse 1. Quote, for the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of an estate who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. Verse 2. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. Verse 3. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. Verse 4. So he hired them, telling them that he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. Verse 5. At noon, and again around 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. Verse 6. At 5 o'clock that evening, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, quote, why haven't you been working today? Unquote. verse 7. They replied, quote, because no one hired us, unquote. Quote, the owner of the estate told them, then go on out and join the others in my vineyard, unquote. Verse 8. Quote, that evening he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. Verse 9. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. Verse 10. When those hired earlier came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. Verse 11. When they received their pay, they protested. Verse 12. Quote, those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you paid them just as much as you paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat. Unquote. Verse 13. He answered one of them, quote, friend, I haven't been unfair, exclamation mark. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Verse 14. Take it and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Verse 15. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be angry because I am kind? Verse 16. And so it is that many who are first now will be last then, and those who are last now will be first then, unquote. Jesus again predicts his death. Verse 17. As Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. Verse 18. Quote, when we get to Jerusalem, unquote, he said, quote, the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Verse 19. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, whipped, and crucified. But on the third day he will be raised from the dead. Unquote. Jesus teaches about serving others. Verse 20. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. Verse 21, quote, what is your request, unquote, he asked. She replied, quote, in your kingdom, will you let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one at your right hand and the other at your left, unquote. Verse 22, but Jesus told them, quote, you don't know what you are asking, exclamation mark. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of sorrow I am about to drink, unquote. Quote, oh yes, unquote, they replied. Quote, we are able, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 23, quote, you will indeed drink from it, unquote, he told them. Quote, but I have no right to say who will sit on the thrones next to mine. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen, unquote. Verse 24, when the 10 other disciples had heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Verse 25, but Jesus called them together and said, quote, you know that in this world kings are tyrants, and officials lord it over the people beneath them. Verse 26, but among you it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Verse 27, and whoever wants to be first must become your slave. Verse 28, for even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many. Unquote. Jesus heals two blind men. Verse 29. As Jesus and the disciples left the city of Jericho, a huge crowd followed behind. Verse 30. Two blind men were sitting beside the road. When they heard Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, quote, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 31. The crowd told them to be quiet, but they only shouted louder. Quote, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 32. Jesus stooped in the road and called, quote, what do you want me to do for you? Unquote. verse 33, quote, Lord, unquote, they said, quote, we want to see, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 34, Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes. Instantly they could see, exclamation mark. Then they followed him.
Praise the Lord. Okay, that was chapter 20 of Matthew, 34 verses, translation, and now the commentary.
Chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. This story about the workers and their pay speaks strongly about God's power. No matter when we begin to follow Jesus, we receive the same amount of reward or power from God. You take, for instance, in our congregation, we have a man named Buster, and many people have been with the church 30, 35, very close to 40 years, and they've fallen away from zeal. But Buster has got all kinds of zeal, and so this shows that Buster is going to get the reward, and they're going to lose their reward if they don't remember the pit they were dug out of, and if they don't start shouldering the cross and get full of zeal again. That may seem unfair to backslidden people, but God, in his wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and his mercy, accepts all people who turn to him and stay with him to the end. For only those who continue on till the end shall be saved. No matter how early or late in life we accept the Lord, we must continue on, and the reward is the same.
And you know, Buster has owned 5 furniture stores. Now he's down to just one, and he's rarely ever there. It's just kind of a low-budget furniture store in Arkansas. And he knows about business, and he's able to do things that most people are not able to do because he's been a very astute business person. But more than that, he loves the Lord with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he shows his zeal to do everything that the Lord tells him to do. And he remembers one thing more than anything, not to usurp authority, and to remember who the pastor is. And he constantly, every day, there isn't a day that goes by that he doesn't check with me on the operation of that church in the near Texarkana area. And then there's some people that never report a thing, that never reported hardly anything all their spiritual life. There just doesn't seem to be any zeal to accomplish much for the Lord. And I just really pray that God will send me 10,000 busters. Another one would be very extremely helpful. If I can have a bunch of busters like that, we could open up churches in every area of the world. All right, then what?
So therefore, it should encourage those who are young baby Christians that it's never too late to begin the process of growth in the Lord. Remember, your reward is the same. Just hang in there. Even if I labored for 40, 50, or 100 years and you just got saved, you have the same reward if the Lord came back today.
And I thank and praise the Lord for it. It's marvelous that he does things that way. Anyone that turns to him is saved. All right, then what else?
Chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. The other disciples were indignant at the request for special recognition in the kingdom of heaven made by James and John's mother, because they too wanted the same position of honor in God's kingdom. This prideful attitude contracted could send their souls to hell if they didn't get rid of it. Pride cometh before a fall. And everything they were saying contradicted what Jesus taught and is always determined to grow in the Lord. Becoming great in God's sight is achieved through humbly serving one another. You have to be a good follower of the Lord to do as he did, to wash people's feet, and as they say, get down and dirty, get out on the streets where the Lord was.
Right, the lowly Nazarene. That's why I'm blowing up a lot of the original pictures from the past, the glorious days of our humble beginning of this church going back around 40 years ago. And I'm blowing those pictures up to slides for we won first place in the New Hall Parade on the 4th of July around 1970 to 72. And it shows, the pictures show hundreds of hippies that we had won to the Lord carrying these banners of the Lord, and a big orchestra, and a bunch of people in the choir, a bunch of born-again Christians in the choir. They still had their long hair. They still wore patchwork jeans because they were just newly saved. And we never had any code to get them to cut their hair or to take a change to the kind of suits that I wore at the time, because that wasn't what salvation is all about. Later, as they grew in the Lord, they wanted to clean up and go on business with me in the city. And I said, well, you know, I'm out there to get, I don't want to be embarrassed. You have to, if you want to come with me, you know, shave, get yourself, or at least cut your hair and dress up. Let me get you a suit, and you'll suit up, and then they do it. And, but I mean, the humble beginnings of where we were persecuted, that shows police cars coming around our church, because they couldn't understand that these hippies that were former drug addicts were saved. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, they thought they were on some new kind of a drug when they were speaking in tongues. And it just, we were teamed because we had so many of these brothers and sisters in the church over on Crescent Heights, which is a very fashionable neighborhood. The people would complain because they'd be out, they just street people, so to speak, and they were out there brushing their teeth in the backyard. And a lot of the movie stars like Ann Sheridan lived right next to us on one side, and then a bunch of business people on the other. And so they kept complaining, and then we were deemed, because of all those hippies, a public nuisance. And so we had to move out into the Saugus, Newhall, Valencia area, out in the wilderness, until a lot of them began losing the part of the world that they loved to dress like, until they started dressing like people of the Lord. And people of the Lord many times dressed like that as well, like John the Baptist and Elijah. They wore camel's hair, and they didn't look like what the normal today's crank out of a Baptist or Methodist preacher looked like. They were very rugged individuals, and didn't have any real dress code. Their hair was long as well, and some of them didn't even have any hair, but they dressed very wildly, like leather and camel's hair. And they would eat locusts and drink wild honey. That was what they ate. But anyway, let's go ahead. So that's just the humble beginnings. And humble means to be humble before the Lord. I mean, when people are doing sinning, go and tell them. Because if you don't, how will they ever know? And humble, most people think, well, that's just being humble, you know, before each other, and just letting whatever they do just go pass by. That isn't humble. That is totally arrogant in the eyes of the Lord to not do what he tells you. He says, reprove and rebuke, and to preach the word instead of letting people preach this false doctrine. Now, the people that are receiving the false doctrine are the great falling away, because they were saved. Some of these false prophets will preach a salvation message. They'll get saved, and they gradually bring them into all their false doctrine. And when you take false doctrine, you're taking Satan into you. We're saved by the real word of God, not by the twisted version of it, which is the devil. And if you start believing that, you've let Satan come into you and say that he is God. All right, then go ahead.
This is also one of our goals in growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. As we receive God's power and restoration, we are called to carry God's message to the entire world and to help them in their growth to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Right, the real message, not a twisted version of it that you can still sin and God has done away with the law. God has not done away with the law. Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. In other words, to pay the price of the law to redeem our souls, to save our souls. He had to buy us from the law by his own precious blood and his life. Then what?
chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. Jesus' spiritual awareness to the needs of two blind men in a huge crowd shows that God cares very much for individuals who are hurting and who are crying out to him in prayer.
Right now I'm doing the book of Chronicles, and every person's name, some people get so bored at studying the names and the genealogy, but they really prove out the Word of God. And it just shows how much God cares for every individual. And every individual's name is right there. And it shows that the Lord cares for each and every one of us. Then what?
What these two blind men, in essence, were doing was crying out to the Lord in prayer, and Jesus heard them and answered their prayer. Jesus healed them because they asked him to in prayer. They believed in him and did not listen to the bystanders' discouraging remarks. To those blind men, these people were the devil, and truly they were being used by the devil. These men persevered despite opposition and continued with their faithful prayers for help to the Lord, and they received their sight. In growing to the stature of the Lord, we may encounter oppositions. We surely will. So we may need to swallow our pride and just keep going. Just keep asking. Just keep praying and trust the Lord. You can't trust the discouragement of the people of the world. We can be sure that even if others laugh at us or attempt to discourage us, God is still listening, and he'll give you what you're asking for so that you can be a great testimony of the power of God in this world as a witness.
Right, you know, like when I first got saved and God opened up the ministry to the hippies, for us, the people, we'd go over to this narcotic dope den and preach the gospel to them, and everyone in there got saved, and it became our first church on Carlos Avenue in Hollywood. And then the people, when Sue and I go over there every night, because we've had services every night at 8 o'clock and twice on Sunday, 3 and 8, since way back then, and we still do the same thing. We've done that all these years. We have services every evening at 8, twice on Sundays, 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock on Sundays. And we serve meals after each service. Have done that all these years, and we will until the Lord comes back. And he's coming back very soon. But the people would try to discourage us. They'd say, "You people, you look like nice people. You're dressed up nice, and you're very naive. You don't know what these kids are. They're selling dope out of that house. And you ought to just get away from them, because you're letting them use you." And then after we wouldn't do that, then they started turning the story around. They started going to the news media and saying that we're using those broke children, or those young people that were that we had preached the gospel to, and they got off of drugs and out of lies of promiscuousness and all the other filth. They're stealing candy bars and cokes and things like that, because they were starving to death. They're sleeping in parks, on park benches, on toilet seats in gas stations. And then people started, and then we gave them a nice home to stay in, fed them 3 square meals a day, give them vitamins and minerals and all the things that, you know, even they said their parents didn't give them. And then they started telling everyone in the press that we were using those hippies, for God's sake. And here I had a Beatles album that was worth over $100 million, I've been told, and I never sold it to this day, which I wanted to not sell it, to prove to everyone that I'm not in the ministry for money, because it's quite obvious that I'm able to make money and have always been able to make money outside the ministry, and I've made a lot of money for the ministry since I've been in there. So that hopefully this will erase some of those false stories that you've heard. You hear the most wild stories about people that are in the gospel field, but they're not true. Okay, is that it now?
Yeah.
All right, now we have part 3 of regeneration.
How God's permanent life enters into us. Since God's life or permanent life or regeneration is the attaining of God's permanent life in us, in addition to our original temporary life, the moment we are given God's permanent life or regeneration, regenerated is the very moment God's life enters into us, God with Christ and the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God's permanent life, regeneration, therefore, is the entering into us of God's permanent eternal life. The birth of Christ's permanent life within us is called regeneration. It is not only the entering of Christ's permanent life into us, but it is also the birth of Christ within us. This is when, because of Christ being in us, that we become the sons of God.
And we become born again because Christ is born in us. And Christ is born into people every day that we preach the gospel. He's reborn, and he becomes, those who he becomes born again in become the continuation of his incarnation in this world. And that's quite a bit, you know, that you've received today. As you get the gist of what I'm teaching and preaching here, you'll have more. Some of the different messages that I have on regeneration and consecration and all the other different subjects, some of them will be 2 and 3 pages and take a little bit longer, as I'm sure that you'll be able to absorb the things that you're receiving, that I'm preaching. Until chapter 21 of the book of Matthew and part 4 of regeneration. This is Pastor Tony Alamo stating, praise the Lord and God bless you real good.